Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. My name is Joy Keys. I'm your host. I want to thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan of the show. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. And I would love to hear from you. Send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Well, today, a beautiful, talented, multi-talented artist, Esperanza Spalding, is on the line with me. You might have known her from her first album, Esperanza, and now her second album, Chamber Music Society. Also, you might be aware that she just recently won a Grammy. It's a small little award, and she's working already on a third album, Radio Music Society. Good afternoon, Esperanza.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you so much. We just listened to your title track from the album, Little Fly. Now, my understanding is that wasn't what you wanted initially. There was some conversation with Wayne Shorter. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, when you get too close to your own project, it's hard to be objective. So I had my heart set on opening the record with the second song. I thought it was more dramatic and also had put more into it, you know. And everybody was saying, no, we think it should be Little Fly. And I said, okay, well. And so my co-producer, Gil Goldstein, he said, now, who on earth, whose opinion would you respect ultimately that if they agreed with me, you wouldn't argue? And I said, oh, yeah, Wayne Shorter. Thing. And because I'm assuming that they would never get Wayne Shorter to bother to listen to that. But they did send the record to Wayne, and he listened and he agreed. And so we talked, and he said, yeah, I think Little Fly should be first for various reasons. And so I said, okay. That settled that, obviously. So
Right. Well, you said he's one of your heroes, as well as Milton Nascimento, who you are playing with on the album.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
So now sometimes you perform barefoot. Talk to what's that about?
Well, sometimes it's just for the show. You know, we've been doing it for a year. So I guess if you've seen me doing a show of my own in the last year, you would have seen me playing barefoot. The idea is that I'm in my house. I got off work. I'm ready to just unwind and relax and get carried off in my imagination. So when you get home, you get comfortable, you take your shoes off. So
yeah,
it's a way of
definitely
being more intimate and low key, and you know, like I'm in my own comfortable space with the audience, you know.
Now, you didn't start off playing the bass. You started at about 5, I believe it was. You were playing a violin.
Mm-hmm.
And what made your transition to the bass? What happened that transitioned you to the bass?
I heard the sound, and my curiosity was piqued, and my interest was piqued in improvised music. Once I started playing it, it sort of hooked me. And I just wanted to keep doing this intuitive, using all this vocabulary that I had been looking at over the previous decade from 5 to 15, vocabulary meaning, you know, scales and arpeggios and intervals and all these things that are present in all music that you read, but all of a sudden it was like all this language that you've learned now, you get to make poetry, you know, on your own and speak with other people. And this is your vocabulary for dialogue. That was really appealing, and it set off a spark, you know, and that's still burning.
Well, you know, a lot of people, you're a very petite woman, and a lot of people, like my cousin Christian McBride, he plays bass, and you know, his hands are very rough. How do you take care of your hands after playing? I mean, sometimes Christian's told me, you know, his fingers have bled actually from playing so intensely. I mean, how do you take care of your hands when you're playing a bass?
Well, you stretch. No, I stretch. I mean, if I've been playing a bass that doesn't provide or doesn't have a lot of resistance, the hardness of my callus will sort of disappear. So I'll still have thicker skin, but like the hard part of the callus goes away because it's not, you know, my skin, my body doesn't think it's necessary. And then if I suddenly play a bass that has much more resistance, it's like the skin doesn't have enough to protect itself. So sometimes
right.
It can break the skin. It can bleed in extreme cases, but, you know, it's so variable, you know. The most important thing, I think, is just being relaxed when you play and remembering to breathe
mm-hmm.
and be conscious of good posture. And then if you feel anything starting to get tight, you know, really stretch. And I see a woman in Austin that does body work, so she always gets me all straightened out again. And then, you know, if something starts to feel tight, you can sort of mentally, you can remember in your body what neutral feels like, you know, what relaxed feels like, and make sure that you can sort of go there and try to play from that place of no strain. And,
mm-hmm,
you know,
definitely.
Usually if I can keep my mind on that, my body in that state, I don't get strained from playing.
That's great. Well, I want to play Apple Blossom. This is from Chamber Music Society. This is your duet with Milton Nascimento, okay?
Mm-hmm. Welcome by an amen. We greet them fondly
with memories of when her bulk were arms that held him as a younger man. Together they would part. Birth of springtime. Now he stands beneath the apple blossom every year where they used to go walking. And he tells her about.
Well, that's a beautiful song. I actually read the rest of the lyrics, and I actually started crying by the time I got to the end.
Aww.
I was, like, welling up a little. I mean, you know, it's a love story, and it's just, wow, you know, the visualization of it. I mean, I could totally visualize the man, you know, and the tree and the just the walking. And I've taken my daughter to Apple Orchard, so the whole feeling was with me. So it's a
Aww.
Wonderful song. I really encourage everybody to pick up a copy. And also, I'll probably be giving away some copies, so...
Hey.
Listen and follow me on Twitter. But let me just let people know that this was your second album, Chamber Music Society. You're coming out with a third album. Somebody in the chat room wants me to ask you, how was it playing tribute to Prince on the BET Awards?
Oh, that was fun. You know, he asked me to participate in that event, you know. So I went because he invited me. And... I don't know whose idea it was to do that song, but that I always thought that song was really fun and funny, and I always get a kick out of it. So I was excited to do my little thing with it, and I mean, I had a great time. It's always fun. It's fun, thrilling, at times intimidating to play with people you admire, you know. So, and then afterwards, of course,
definitely.
We hung out, and he said, I like your dress. And, you know, I dressed up for him. You know, I don't normally wear I had a fun
well, you're definitely
outfit on.
You're a style icon. You've been in a lot of fashion magazines, Glamour, Elle, this past August, In Style. You know, one of the things I read about is that you really, you know, mentioned, like, female artists using their sexuality. You kind of downplay the way you dress sometimes, I guess, your sensuality in the traditional sense. Is that a conscious choice or just your style? I mean, are you, like, super aware, like, I don't want to be too excessively sexy? I mean...
Well, that's an interesting word, you know, sensuality. Sensuality and sexuality. those words conjure up sort of a specific image of right now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a stereotype.
Everybody likes different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the other day I was in a hotel in Chicago, and they had these photos of Pearl Bailey, and it was like sort of a close-up. You could just see her collarbone and her and a little bit of her shoulder and her neck. But just the way her head was thrown back singing and, you know, her lips and her eyes and just the angle and the lighting was so incredibly sensual, and it had nothing to do with her breast or her body figure or her butt, you know. And that
mm-hmm.
tends to be where all the attention is placed in terms of sensuality or sexuality when women are, when we're speaking about women and their dress, which is, of course, one element of the physical aspect, but sensuality comes from so many places. It can be in an expression or body language. I mean, all these things. So I wouldn't say I don't shy away from my sexuality and I don't shy away from sensuality, but, you know, what is stereotypically sensual/sexual right this minute, I don't necessarily relate to or identify with, you know, in, from my
yeah.
perspective as who I am. I mean, and I don't even really think about it in terms that I'm dressing, but I wouldn't say it's something that I shy away from. I mean, I dress according to what I want to convey. And sometimes
mm-hmm,
it's
definitely.
Directly symbolic of, like, a specific idea, like quirky intellectual, you know, poking fun at something stuffy, like a tuxedo. I mean, it's something that's
right.
It can
yeah.
be something looser. But there's always an intention of what I want to convey that changes for the event, for the music, for the concert. You know, like I said, I dressed up like that to play Prince's song because it seemed appropriate and fun.
So that was specific, yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say I shy away from that, but it's interesting that one would assume it's an intention to shy away from it just because I don't do it, you know?
Well,
just
no, that's
I don't
why we're
do
here.
The
we're trying
stereotype,
to...
you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, that's why I like to ask people, like, really, you know, off-the-wall questions sometimes because, you know, the audience wants to know, is she doing that purposely? Is that just naturally
right.
her? Or, you know, what's the deal? Now, we only have a couple minutes left, but you're coming
sure.
out with the third album, Radio Music Society, and you're working with Q-Tip on this. It's going to have funk and rock. And talk to me about this upcoming
yeah,
album you're working
Jack
on.
Yeah, Jack DeJohnette, too, and Joe Lovano, Layla Hathaway, Lena Loweke, Terry Lynn Carrington. Many, many amazing people are involved in this. Yeah, I mean...
It's coming out next spring, you said, right?
Coming out next spring, yeah. And, you know, keep the idioms and genres and boxes out of your mind before you hear it. The idea is called Radio Music Society because it's a society of musicians who got together to make music for the radio. So we are committed to creating good music to be shared on the platform of radio. And what we want to build off of is the foundation of jazz. And, of course, that's different for everybody. But for what we see as really integral parts of jazz music, we built radio music around that. So that's the premise. And lots of, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, right? So it's a whole bunch of people involved in this project.
Definitely. Well, I want to play just real quick before we close Winter Sun. And you talked about
mm-hmm.
Terry Lynn. She's playing on this Winter Sun.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Chamber Music Society.
Mm-hmm. Once fallen leaves have lost their crunch and turned to confetti, brown and orange, I know soon you're coming the lips of the wind and they can make advances of swamps and lines. When tall bones tremble from the cold, one kiss of your warmth.
Well, that was a beautiful piece with Terry Lynn Carrington on the drums there. And who else is playing in the background there with you?
Well, I'm playing bass, obviously. Leonardo Genovese is playing piano, and I ended up doing... Is Gretchen singing backgrounds on that one? I don't remember. But on the record, there's some Carlotto things, and I can't remember if that's one of the ones you sang backgrounds on or not, but some of those backgrounds are mine for sure.
Definitely. Well, I wish you much continued success. I hope you win another Grammy for this third album.
Take care of
those wonderful hands and your beautiful voice, and come back on next spring when you come out with your third album, okay?
I will, and send my best to your cousin. I'm his cousin.
Okay, I will. Okay, all right,
care.
No problem. Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I just got off the phone with Esperanza Spalding. Unfortunately, we had to, you know, cut it short as a short interview today, 15 minutes. But please follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys and become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. You know, I'll be giving away a CD. So stay tuned. You never know what's going to happen. And also check out, they're giving away some tickets. Kimmel, I think they were holding a contest. I was tweeting about that. Tickets to her show, so you want to check that out. And also, it's a camera, you can win a flip camera, so check that out. But this Thursday I'm doing another special show. You want to tune in for that at 1 p.m and then doing the regular show Saturday at 11 a.m Eastern. Thank you so much, heading towards 73,000 downloads of the podcast, and that's all to your wonderful support. I'm going to close today with Little Fly. This is from Esperanza Spalding's second album, Chamber Music Society.
Say when we were lost alone, I'd have a book of sonnets.